Put down, I'll change this drill.
Okay.
This looks like a fire drill in a third grade school. You're gonna run the curl. You're gonna hustle. It's all right. You had a catcher's mitt, you had to cut it. You gotta stop a pass or a run. Otherwise, we're in great shape.
Well, I've seen bad football games. It's the worst I've ever seen.
What?
I never saw such a little life on a football team in my life.
Minus Three with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the new episode of Minus Three, presented as always by FanDuel Sportsbook. Football, football, football. Week one of college football season in the books. Week one of pro football upcoming. We're ready to chop it all up for you. We're over the moon. We haven't even a moment to talk about the controversy of Brian Kelly clumsily repeating a line by the late, great John McKay. We're going to give you some of our favorite bets here for college football and pro football upcoming here. Maybe get in some Yankees talk here as Eddie Spaghetti's favorite ball club plummets further. The Blue Jays may yet catch up to him, but we're focused mostly on football this week. We appreciate you betting along with us at FanDuel.com/-3. That's the word minus. The number three, and all the fun can be followed along at -3 pod. It's a big week here, like I say, specifically tonight, Eddie Spaghetti. The big kickout league, our fantasy draft is upcoming. I once again am the reigning champion. That means that I hold the power, like in Survivor. You get to extinguish somebody else's lamp. Is that what it's called, a lamp? Torch? Torch. You extinguish their torch, I guess, on Survivor. Sal came up with a diabolical plan about a decade ago that the reigning champ gets to kick out someone of his choosing at the draft. Well, that day is now upon us, and so I will be kicking out once again. You may recall that I kicked out Bill Simmons a year ago by getting his favorite ball player growing up, Freddie Lynn, center fielder for the Red Sox, to kick him out on Cameo. And sources are saying, don't fix what ain't broke. And so I would expect that maybe another Cameo appearance will be the delivery method for someone's shame this weekend. And Spaghetti, you know, you watch a lot of college football. Mazel tov to you on your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Exciting game, one of the better games. Not exactly an exhilarating collection of games, but I think we were all happy just to be looking at some college football action, eh?
Yeah, it was a strange week one, because a lot of the teams that we thought were maybe the second or third tier level teams ended up losing, and you were spot on with UNC, which is a great example. I was totally shocked by that. Obviously, the Wisconsin-Penn State game, kind of sloppy. Not really sure if either of those teams are good, but it was always fun to see an upset at Penn State winning in Camp Randall, and then yet my Irish, I mean, that was a game I figured they'd start off a little bit slow, which they did. I figured they would figure things out, which they also did. And then the third act of that game was just absolutely bonkers, where they seemingly had guys stop in the backfield, couldn't wrap up, and then just big plays from Florida State. And obviously everyone loves the story about their quarterback coming back from the devastating injury at UCF and then leading them to their almost comeback. And then the whole craziness with the, I don't want to bring referees into it, but the bad running into the punter call, and then like the weird field goal placement ball, and they end up missing it anyway. And the Notre Dame gets the kick and they win to get out of that one. But it was a strange game. I kind of said this on our last pod about this game with the Irish, was I don't have a feel for this team yet. Need to see what happens in week one. Are they the same as last year? And it seems like they are totally the opposite of what they were last year with Ian Book. They're more of a team that was, you know, they were great in the trenches. This team is more of a dynamic passing offense with Jack Cohn. So all in all, exciting finish. I guess we're not going to count the game with the Ole Miss game last night, but yeah, I'm happy to be 1-0 and moving on to another good week of college football.
Boy, oh boy,
football.
If you have any concerns, that's exactly right. Cohen on down. I mean, there are so many good college QBs. If you're worried about your pro football team not having a QB, don't worry. There's going to be one available for you in this draft, as there is every year. That's the big takeaway for me, looking at these guys. Howell's performance in Virginia Tech notwithstanding, I did tell you that was going to happen. That was too big a spot for a kid to try and overcome all the losses that he had in skill position guys last autumn to this season. That was their undoing this time.
By the way, getting a literally the Virginia Tech crowd when they played Enter Sandman, like, registered on the seismograph, which is that clip of them jumping up and down is, I know everyone like loved the jump around at Camp Randall, but I think Enter Sandman and Blacksburg, like, literally causing the earth to move is something else. You were spot on that pick. Sam Howell and Mac Brown cannot get the job done.
I know, but one size doesn't fit all, because Wisco slipped up against Penn State, and I gave you that one. By the way, on the season, my best bets in college football, now 4-2, so pretty good. Bet along with us, FanDuel.com/-3. We have Jeff Schwartz upcoming. Of course, you may know that he's an alumnus of Oregon. Looking forward to hearing what he thinks about a spotty performance in Week 1 as they head over to Columbus, Ohio to face another team that wasn't dominant against Minnesota. So looking forward to getting his pick there and some pro football thoughts as well. Your Yankees are bad, but so are the Red Sox. Are either one of them going to lose their wild card spot to the Jays or the Mariners or otherwise, Eddie Spaghetti? How say you here?
Well, on the times we're recording, it's Tuesday, which means that as of today, Gerrit Cole is pitching versus Steven Matz and the Blue Jays, and I'm hoping Cole is able to come in and stop them. He should be your eventual AL Cy Young winner. I know there's been some issues. Jonathan Loaiza got going on the injured list here, which is a big blow, and they're still throwing out Andrew Heaney, the Yankees, for some reason, which I do not know. He's not great. And I said this weeks back and continue to say it, but the importance of getting back those arms like Herman and Severino, hopefully eventually, and Kluber inching back, like, that's going to be so important for the Yankees if they make it to the postseason, because they're going to need help in the bullpen. Those 6th, 7th inning spots, if their starter can give them, 5, 6 innings, that's what they really need, and showing you that's what's costing them some games. Like, why they can't figure out the Orioles, I don't know. Some years just teams have their number, and it seems like that's what's going to be with the Yankees and O's this year.
Just bizarre. But anyway, so we're coming down the stretch there in baseball. I'm not going to jive you. I respect you too much. My eye is on football, college and pro. I'll keep a side eye on what goes down in baseball, but you're going to have to keep me hip from here on out there, Spaghetti. Like I say, Oregon now catching 14.5 as they go into Columbus there. We'll get Schwartz's pick on that one. The other big game, Iowa, even after dominating my Hoosiers, are the dog going into Iowa State, who really, really struggled. How say you, Spaghetti? I want to talk with Schwartz about the preseason polls here. I hate them because they're already too influential. I can't believe that Clemson loses a game and they're still number 6 ahead of so many teams like the Sissy Blue UCLA team and otherwise. Who I did tell you, that was another one of Damashek's keen predictions. I told you to take UCLA at home there. But Iowa, I don't want to overreact to a dominant performance, but +4.5, I expect that everybody and their mother is going to be in on that one. How say you? You going to take the Cyclones?
Well, it's so funny that it goes back to what you said about the poll. Like, people just don't want to be wrong. So they had Iowa State up very, very high because everyone loves Matt Campbell and what he's done to that program. And obviously Purdy at quarterback, I think one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And then they go and have a kind of a stinker. They do slip by and win that game. And Iowa looks awesome. I believe the same defensive back had like 2 pick-6s and everything. So, I think it's at that point in college football they expect. And Jeff, Jeff does bring this up later when we speak to him. The difference between college football teams in Week 1 and Week 2, which is why we're used to a lot of teams with the cupcakes on their schedule because they want to kind of have a week to get right. So I guess people are thinking, okay, well, Iowa State's going to get right here. So I know that a lot of people on Extra Points, our guy Harry and then Hench made the joke and he made the pick, the Iowa State pick last week on the Thursday pod, that they were on the Cyclones. But I don't know. I mean, I think we may get an Iowa win here because that was not a pretty game from Iowa State.
I know, but the public is going to be all over the Hawks going into this one. So it's an intriguing one. I need 2 more days to meditate on that. I'll give you my final pick on that one when we get Hench on -3 on Thursday. Also upcoming, Eddie Spaghetti is going to give you, this is where he's the home run whisperer every Tuesday. He's going to give you his dinger. Here, FanDuel's special prop that you can make, who's going to hit a home run. Spaghetti's going to lay it on you in just a second. Quick detour. I don't want to, I feel weird talking about the passing of someone personally, who meant something to you and me, Eddie Spaghetti, and a lot of our friends. Although we have put out on social media and we've talked about the good times that we had with our guys, Handsome Hank and Matt Money Smith and Tara Deeker, who passed away over the weekend. I'm going to be talking more about her with the Around the NFL boys in a little bit later. So programming note on that, I guess. But I feel weird talking about it. But she really just made everybody feel like $1 million. And I do feel like she deserves. And I feel like if by some chance this reaches somebody in her family or her friends outside of our little weird circle of the fact that she was the true star of the whole thing. And it's a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, it's really as bad as it gets, and it makes you, especially with us losing our friend Wes, and then having to deal with that, and just the uncertainty of and fragility of life, and then with Deke, who we were lucky to see recently, and we thought things were going to be okay, but I guess you just really never know with cancer and just how life is. But the one thing I will say, during my time in NFL, and I was lucky that I had a pretty good relationship with almost everybody there, no enemies or anything like that. But, in life, sometimes you just don't want to have a conversation with people that I know of. But you want to avoid, sometimes you want to avoid people. Obviously, Monday, 8 a.m., you're getting in the office, you're tired, you don't want to really see anyone, talk to anyone. But I will say I never, ever skipped an opportunity to stop by Deke's office and chat with her, no matter what. Like, she was really the only person that I could say that I truthfully would go out of my way to go and talk to, because she was fun, she was caring, she was always wanting to know what was going on with our group, and she had a good sense of humor, and the countless pie offs and every just time that she would come by our studio and come on the show with, and her relationship with Handsome Hank, and like I mentioned before, we did see her recently over in Los Angeles, and I was I'm glad the last time we hung out, I got to make her laugh by shoving an entire slice of pizza in my face, and
that was
very
sad.
I was hoping to see Deke real soon, but again, just life is too short, and just be enjoy every single day you have on the planet.
Well, such a heartbreaker, you're right, but the takeaway is she was good to everybody, and it's just as easy to be nice as it is to be a jerk, and she chose the former, not the latter, and maybe the rest of us can take something from that it's easy to be dismissive and glib and whatever. And by the way, I don't want to turn her into a saint. She was as brassy as it got. She gave it as good as she took it, and that's what made her so much fun to be with. And like I say, I guess the broader message that you've heard me say before, and I say again now, is if you're lucky enough to get to work with your friends, then you're really cheating life. And so in that way, she helped all of us cheat life a little bit, and just a massive loss. But on with the sports we go now. And so let's get our guy, Jeff Schwartz, to talk about weeks one in college football and week one in the NFL. All right, here he is, everybody, licking his wounds after the Ducks barely survived a humiliating season opening loss. You know him from Fox Sports. You can look forward to him talking about college and pro football all season long. Also, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You, the podcast that you simply must download and subscribe to. It's Jeff Schwartz. What's the poop, fella?
Well, I'm not licking my wounds. I mean, Oregon did win the game, unlike our rival Washington, who lost to Montana, scoring 7 points at home. So, I mean, it could be worse, Dave. We did end up winning the game, which is more important than obviously losing the game. So it wasn't the best game, but we won, and we're on to Ohio State this week. And we're not Washington, who lost to Montana again at home as a ranked team, scoring 7 points. Not ideal.
Now, just to clarify, that pleases you. You're a weirdo in my book because you root for the Pac-12 in general, except for the Huskies. That's the one exception.
Why would I not root for the Pac-12? I do not get this. So I should not have rooted for UCLA to beat LSU?
I understand that you're using your head here. You're doing some math in terms of like Final Four, and it's better if the conference is good in general and all of that. I just mean spiritually. I want you to acknowledge it's wrong. It's a decision, but your heart and gut should at least balk at your head's choice to say, yay, Bruins, yay, Trojans. It's good.
Oh, I don't like USC.
Okay, so we have a lot to talk about here, so I don't want to get too bogged down. But so you're anti-Washington,
very
and
much.
You're anti-USC, but you're cool with everybody else in the conference.
Yes, because I went to Oregon, so we hate Washington. Oregon State, right. I mean, I don't like to lose to them, but they're like the little sister. I'm really worried about them, even though we lost them last year. And my parents went to UCLA, so I hate USC. It's very simple.
Okay, but you root for the San Francisco Giants over your hometown Dodgers. None of it makes any sense.
Yeah, excuse me. The first place, San Francisco Giants.
What doesn't make any sense? We got to get into our game picks here. I also want to get your little preview. We'll get some Cliff's Notes version of what you think is upcoming here. We've talked to you all summer long about pro football. Tip of the hat, though, to you and your boy Duke. You, the last time you were on, -3, you said you heard, and this was at the very start of pro football's training camp, you said, I hear Dan Moore is going to wind up being the starting left tackle. Now, some people would say that's because Zach Banner, the presumed starter at right tackle with Chooks at left tackle, got undone by Banner's injury. But nevertheless, you nailed that one. And a lot of cynics over Pittsburgh way were saying that it was going to be That was a crazy assumption. He's a rookie. He got smoked right out of the gate in training camp by Alex Highsmith. But here we are. If you want to take a victory lap for you and Duke, you guys had the intel on that one. Kudos.
It's weird. I didn't get any like apology messages from anyone who told me I was crazy when I said this. It's weird. And how about that Pittsburgh radio guy who's, I mean, he beat me to it first. He's only said it 4 weeks after I did. So I wonder if he's going to take the victory lap today.
It's Mark funny. Madden, he said that you probably heard him say it and yes. Then repeated it.
Yeah, I'm a big listener of Steelers Pittsburgh Drive Time Radio in Charlotte. This is a great thing about social media, right? It's actually a terrible thing. Is you get something right and no one ever comes back and says to you, you know what, Schwartz? Bravo, buddy. Bravo. You had inside information. You kind of knew what was happening there. You got it right. But if I was wrong about that, I would get 15 tweets. If it was announced that Chooks was starting or Zach Banner was starting, I'd get shit on for that. That's
it's
way
so
worse.
Right. Isn't that, see, you're right, that social media or otherwise has brought out this cynical approach to things. And I remember saying, you know, 15, 20 years ago, there should be a website that just tracks every hot taker's takes his predictions and keeps a record of them to shame people, because you shouldn't be allowed to just shoot your mouth off with nonsense and see if anybody notices how wrong you are all the time. And then came awful announcing and otherwise, maybe inspired by Ted Lasso. That's everybody likes that because it's got a positive vibe to it. Maybe we need to create a website that celebrates other people's correct predictions. What about that?
That doesn't sell, man. Negativity sells, right? I mean, what positive? I know Ted Lasso really sells because I saw the tweet about this. It's very true. Like a positive male dominated like show, right? Like not male dominated show, obviously, but like a male the lead character, a male, and he's like positive, right? We rarely see that, right? We see kind of jackasses in those roles. And obviously, Rebecca and Keeley are great and whatnot, but it's like it's just odd to see Ted Lasso be so inspiring in those roles. We don't really see that from men all the time.
It's so true, and it's a powerful message as we sit here at the
dawn
of pro football.
It's so good, man. It holds, like, everything about it. Like, Rebecca, I think, is fabulous, and Roy Kent. I mean, it's just, they do a good job with that show.
We've been watching, I think it's called 9 Perfect Strangers here, and they've been dosing all the guests at this luxury spa. They've been giving everybody LSD, and they didn't know about it. That's also a fun show.
A real, this is like a documentary or like
No, it's Nicole Kidman doing a weird, unidentifiable Scandinavian kind of accent. That's
Weren't people pissed you did the other show on HBO, The Undoing, with a weird accent too? I remember that shit.
That show made me mad. I don't know why.
Why?
I'm watching another. Because its resolution stunk.
It was
all
terrible,
right, listen,
yes.
We'll figure out, let's talk about how college football is going to resolve. And I'm already angry about it for this reason, Schwartz. I bellyache all the time about preseason polls. And the reason, you just talked about one part of the human condition, that we like to point at other people and laugh when they're wrong. Another thing is we like to ignore, as you say, when we're wrong. So when you make a preseason poll, you basically will look the other way when things get sideways on you, and you'll self-validate. Witness Clemson, who lost a game. They played one game like most other college football teams did. They lost it, and yet they still sit at number six. I would be livid about this, even if I were your team, if I were the Oregon Ducks. But there are other teams that performed well. UCLA is 2-0. They just beat LSU. How in the world can you justify Clemson staying at number six? Now they're slotted. Sure. That was their toughest game that they will have all the way through the season. So it's reasonable to assume that unless they get upset, that they're going to be in the Final Four probably. Yeah.
Yes. And look, this year it felt more than ever the preseason poll was wrong, right? I mean, it just was flat out wrong. North Carolina, 10th in the country. Sam Howell, this is the year. They're going to do it. Upset by Virginia Tech. Look, you're Indiana Hoosiers. Bad game. We get it. Penix might have been hurt, right? It wasn't 100%, I don't think. But they got their doors blown off, okay? Look, Oregon didn't play terrible great. Washington got upset. There were other, you know, Iowa State didn't play terrible great. And they won 16-10 over Northern Colorado, I think, right? I mean, it just feels like the rankings were wrong this year. But I will say, it feels like we have one really good team, one Alabama, a second decent team. I mean, Georgia's good. And then it's like a bunch of teams sort of like, the flaws are still the same, right? Ohio State defensively, Oklahoma defensively. Clemson obviously couldn't score in that game, but they'll be fine. But I'm with you. I think that the preseason rankings determine too much of how we feel about teams. So my podcast.
That's exactly right. And people do not. Yes. And that's and to pull back the curtain, if you're listening to me, I can assure you, because I have had many conversations, and Schwartz has too, and Eddie Spaghetti has as well, where we talk to a lot of people who are portrayed as experts or insiders or whatever, and they know as much about it as you do. People list off three star names from a Big 12 team, and you think like, well, this guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to Big 12 ball. Like, they don't really know, because you're talking about 18-year-olds on some level. How does anybody really have any insight to how good a lot of teams are going to be? And yet we roll with these preseason rankings as though they're some insightful source for how good teams are. Well, it's nonsense. It should be zero until week one at minimum before you start evaluating who's better than whom.
Yeah, and because of that, on my podcast, Jeff Smartly, we started a college edition now once a week.
Wait. I loved how you just said it there. That wasn't much of a sell there. On my podcast,
Smarter Than You. It's kind of a mouthful for me to say.
It's a clunky name. Yeah.
The name is what it is. That's why I'm smarter than you. I come up with a clunky name. So we started a college football podcast once a week now. We had our first one out the other day, and I did my rankings. I put UCLA at 4, all right? And the reason I put UCLA at 4, I put Penn State at 6, by the way.
Nice. I think that's valid.
Was because of what they've done so far. They're 2-0. They beat a ranked LSU team. UCLA's win total this year, I think it's 6.5. They had one vote to finish first in the Pac-12 South, right? I mean, on paper, they're the 6th best Pac-12 team. And they handled LSU. I don't want to hear the excuses, Dave. I don't want to hear the SEC excuses about LSU and the quarterback situation and they're more talented than UCLA, and they got their butts whooped to the line of scrimmage, plain and simple. End of story. And the Bruins should get credit for that. Are the Bruins the 4th best team in the country? No, right? They would lose to Oklahoma. They lose to Ohio State. They lose to Clemson. Like, we get that, right? But we got to give some teams credit for winning the game. Is Penn State the 6th best team in the country? No, they're not, okay? Sorry, Penn State, you're not, okay? But they deserve credit. They went to Camp Randall. They won a game. Now, Wisconsin had double and a half the first downs. They had double the yards. I get that, and maybe it wasn't all Penn State's doing, but then they went to Camp Randall and got a win, and they should get credit for that. So I'm with you. I think early in the season, we give credit to the teams. And by week 6 or 7, by the time the playoff shakes out, Everything will be fine. We'll all be calibrated back to where we should be about week 6 when the first playoff rankings come out.
It really is such jive. But the other side of the coin, how much looking at week 1 and then week 0 is, because my recurring point is with the NFL that preseason is not essential. It is essential for borderline guys who you haven't gotten to see and whether or not they belong and all of that. The need for repetition for the guys that you know are going to be starters for you in week 1 of the regular season is not essential, or else college football would do it. But there is a wild swing in teams' performance because they haven't been on the field since last November or December. So how much do you read into a bum performance by Oregon. Not terrible, but Indiana was lousy. Michael Penix, like you say, hadn't played because of the knee injury, and he was lousy. I mean, I don't think anybody perceived them to be a national title contender, maybe a borderline Big Ten contender. But how much are you reading into disappointing performances and saying, like, so can you collectively say basically what I'm asking is, if you are high on a top 10 team that underperformed in week one, how much do you think, like, ascribe that to just they haven't played and they were rusty and they'll get back to that level, or that's what they're going to be this season based on what we saw?
We always hear in college football that teams improve the most between week one and week two because of that reason. They haven't played any games yet, right? We never hear in the NFL, you don't hear like, Houston guys, they played poorly week one, but they're going to play better in week two. We don't hear that, right? Because we know what they are. They've had preseason games. These college kids haven't. So that's why they tend to improve, especially with younger players, right? So we talk about Oregon, Ohio State, really Ohio State, CJ Stroud, right? On the road, first game in Minnesota, up and down game, better in the second half. He should be better in week two, right? Let's talk about Oregon, because you mentioned Oregon. Struggled against Fresno.
Well, this is the big game of the weekend.
Yeah, it is
the
big game.
I'm interested in your breakdown of it.
So I watched Oregon on film on offense, and they didn't do anything. Like they saved. It's very clear. Like UCLA did for LSU. UCLA came out with a different run game. They had shown the entire time that Chip Kelly had been there. Oregon did the same. Oregon did nothing, literally nothing. I mean, their OC is known for a bunch of those RPOs, right? The run-pass option, especially in the red zone where you leak a tight end out or back kind of flares up the field. They did none of that against Fresno, and Fresno sold out to stop the run, just brought 8-9 guys in the box, unblocked guys, made plays, and Oregon was not going to deviate from that plan. So I think I feel more comfortable about their game against Ohio State after watching that. The problem is the quarterback is just okay. I mean, it's Anthony Brown. It's his fourth year as a starter. I mean, he just is what he is. He's in rhythm. He's fine. And then half the time he's out of rhythm. And he misses throws. He makes the wrong read. I mean, he looks at one guy and then runs. He's just okay. And to me, you can't be okay at that position to beat Ohio State. Like, you have to be special. And so I'm hoping they bring out all the plays, everything possible for that. A lot of what Oregon can do offensively looks like what UCLA did, right? Because UCLA's quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, says it's kind of limited too. He's not that good of a quarterback. Like, if you were to look at either pro prospect, just his career at UCLA, and they protect him a lot by the run game. That's what Oregon's going to try to do this weekend. The problem is,
that's an interesting side note. So you don't buy DTR as an NFL guy?
No. Oh no. 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 No.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at the arm seem like it's,
I don't think his arm is terribly strong either compared to it. I just don't see him as a NFL guy, but nonetheless, the problem with saying that, the UCLA game plan could work against Ohio State is Ohio State's going to score 45 points, right? Like they score a ton of points all the time. I think Oregon can limit them, and I hope they do. And I'm actually counting on that to win the game, right? I mean, they have to do that to win the game. They get a corner off suspension back this week, who's pretty important for them. And hopefully Kayvon Thibodeau can play. And I think he will. He's day-to-day the star defensive end. I mean, he had the first three pass rushes. He got stoned the first one, forced a pressure. It led to a sack and then strip sack the quarterback. I mean, dude is legit. Our linebackers are both five stars. They both force fumbles. I mean, we have a lot of talent. It's funny, Dave. People say, well, why is it important to recruit? Why is it important to have these guys? Because those guys make freaking plays. We had three turnovers on defense that we forced Oregon, all by five-star guys. What a surprise. The five-star guys are really good and they make plays. Like, that's why it's important to have dudes. So Oregon has dudes.
Well, wait a second. I'm curious. Who are these people asking you that why recruiting would matter?
Well, mostly like Washington fans who suck at recruiting, and like they're like,
matter? I can't imagine.
There's a lot of people that think that ones that don't recruit well that think that coaching is the only way to win games. And yes, coaching is important, but also having better players. If you watch Alabama play, they have better players than everyone else. that kind of helps.
It is crazy, and I go back to Kirk Herbstreit's point. I fought against it as somebody who believes in merit. I would be fine if we forever just had the two best teams play every year or the top four teams. But to Herbstreit's point, we would then be locked into Alabama against one of like two or three other teams, and that would be the result every single year for the rest of time, or at least until Nick
Saban. I mean, the Patriots went to 11 Super Bowls or whatever else. Like, it wasn't not much different the last 20 years. We still enjoyed the NFL.
I suppose you're right. So where do you come down on, first of all, if I'm hearing you right, you're taking Ohio State at home. You're going to lay 14. That number's moving up.
No.
And I feel like there's value. That's why I asked you, like, how big are these week one results to you?
So here's what. I will take Oregon plus the 14 for the reason of this. This game was going to open about 9.5, 10. And I don't think 4-point difference from the Fresno State game. Like, I think that's an overreaction to how Oregon looked. And again, offensively, they didn't show anything. I'm telling you guys, I've watched this offense now. I've watched every snap for 4 years. New OC, obviously, but they love sneaking the tight end out on those RPOs, especially in the red zone. And they did none of that. Like, they purposely didn't do anything. Like, it was very clear. Now, it almost cost them the game because they could have had easy touchdowns, easy scores, stuff like that. But they're going to show, and look, Mario Cristobal, our head coach, at times, Oregon has played down to opponents. There's no doubt about it. But they also kind of play up to opponents, right? He's 2-0 against Chris Peterson in Washington, 2-0 against USC, should have beat Auburn last year, beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. The Iowa State bowl game was kind of a yuck fest, but it wasn't really – we weren't prepared. Our quarterbacks just played like shit. We're ready for the big game. Can we win the game, Dave? Going to the shoe and winning as a 14-point dog is CJ Stroud going to turn the ball 7 times? It's going to be tough. It's tough. I'm not going to BS you about that. But covering the 14, I feel comfortable about that.
It's not crazy to say that. It is a dodgy game, though, playing the we're going to hold back some stuff against a decent team in week one to take something fresh to show Ohio State.
Yeah, but UCLA did that, I'm telling you, like, and it worked. I mean, like, you have to – but UCLA blew out Hawaii, too. I mean, Hawaii is not Fresno. Fresno's going to win 9 games. I mean, they're a good football team.
Right, and as far as that goes, I do want to talk about UCLA and USC – and anyone else that you think might challenge Oregon. Do you still believe Oregon is the runaway winner of the Pac-12, or has UCLA sufficiently impressed you, or SC for that matter, or both of them?
So Oregon, the Pac-12 North went 1-5. The only win was Oregon. So I feel comfortable that Oregon's the better team in the North, and then it matters in the Pac-12 championship game. USC is the same team they've always been. If you watch USC play this weekend, it was on Pac-12 Network. So I'm sure billions of people were able to watch that game. And USC just looked like they normally look. It's just USC. They have one way to score an offense. Defensively, they looked much better, which is good. It's good to see them playing better defensively. And UCLA, USC play second last week of the year. That probably determines the South. But I will say, Utah's pretty good in the Pac-12. ASU, like Arizona State. UCLA is not going undefeated. They're not. I saw someone today put them in the Rose Bowl. I'm like, let's take a deep breath. Let's wait a couple of weeks before we do that. You just had them winning 6 games, and now all of a sudden they're in the Rose Bowl. Like, take a deep breath, calm down. But it's gonna be Oregon against either UCLA, USC, or Utah. I picked Utah before the season. I still like that pick. I'll stick with that until proven otherwise.
And by the way, the other side of the Oregon coin is they had to rally there and were in some danger, but Ohio State was too. Are we definitely sure Ohio State, or is Minnesota, who they struggled with for a minute there, is Minnesota good? Is the Big Ten a little bit better than maybe we kind of thought? Because Ohio State, it has that Clemson vibe to it, that they're that much better than anybody else in the ACC. And I did tell you that UNC was wishful thinking, that they're fine. They're not. Yeah. We just want a team to rise up and challenge them. I wonder if the Big Ten is that too. Or can Penn State, gave you that one too.
Yeah.
Going into Wisconsin, can Penn State rival them? Iowa? Did you see anything that makes you think that there's anybody that if Oregon doesn't get Ohio State this weekend, that anybody's going to get in the Buckeyes' way?
Herbstreit on game day this past weekend was pretty high in Iowa, and they came out and looked really good. And they won the last 4 games last year, 5 games in a row, Dave, something like that. Look, they're never going to be dynamic. I mean, they scored on 2 pick-sixes, right? Like they're not going to be dynamic on offense. But they play Iowa State this weekend. If they can win that game, you got to feel good about, you know, they're being two ranked teams to start the year. But Ohio State, I mean, you know, they're just, it's just so boring to say, Dave, they just have more talent than anyone else. They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger. To see them losing a game during the regular season can happen, but to lose in the title game as well, I don't know. It's hard for me to buy that. I think what happened in week one was the same as what happened previous years. Their defense is just kind of okay. Offensively, they're really good. And that's my takeaway for a lot of teams in week one is the parts of your game, especially the contenders that we thought needed to improve, really didn't. Ohio State's defense doesn't look much better, right? Oklahoma's defense, not much better. If you want to throw Oregon in there as a contender, Anthony Brown at quarterback, he looked how he's supposed to look. That's a concern if you're trying to find someone else who could take down Alabama. And they're really, you know, Georgia offensively, yes, they're missing some wide receivers, but they didn't score on offense. They had one field goal. Like,
I know. Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at here is jump to the near end of the novel. Let's get to the first page of the last chapter of this college football season. Because to know who belongs in the top four and in the playoff, we have to figure out who doesn't belong. What team that you saw did you identify as like, no, that was not a little slip up there. They're just not very good. Even if they won their game, if they bear like Iowa State would be fine. Well, our pal Harry is all over Ohio State, all over Iowa State. I'm like, that's another wishful thinking one in my book.
Do you know how many seasons Iowa State has won 10 games?
That's exactly my point about UNC. It's like, oh, they're so good. Like, when do you ever see them win double digit games? Everybody.
The answer for Iowa State is never. They've never won 10 games. So in their entire program history, and we talk about them as like some world beater. So Iowa State also starts slow every year. So I'm not really concerned about their week one game. I don't know why they do that. But look, I mean, I think a lot of the teams that we saw that we thought would be good, you know, they eked out games. The one I was impressed with Texas. I know that everyone talked about Texas being back. Louisiana is not a bad football team, and they kind of dominated them. And that was pretty impressive to see. So maybe the Big 12 with Oklahoma, Texas, and Iowa State can be more exciting than we saw. The ACC guys had a pretty bad weekend, right? Some close games, right? Florida State almost won. Clemson almost won. But in totality, Miami got their asses kicked. Clemson lost. North Carolina, who everyone thought was a playoff team-ish, lost. Not the best weekend for them.
Oh, I thought you skipped right over the Pitt Panthers. They laid waste to UMass. They had no business being on the field
I think Connecticut can beat UMass. I'm not sure that's a fair comparison.
They're terrible. That was one of the L's I took. See, I should never bet against my teams. I just didn't think Pitt was going to cover.
I don't bet on
37 and a half seemed like a funny number to bet on. That's why I went against Pitt, because they don't generally score a lot of points.
I don't ever bet on Oregon except like when they're getting 14 points on the road to Ohio State. Like, I just stay away from Oregon.
Quickly, you talk about one team that wears orange and white that may or may not be back. Another team that I think their fan base thinks more of them than the rest of the world does is Tennessee. The Vols still there in the SEC, their fan base waiting for some big bounce back that may or may not ever come. They host the Pitt Panthers. The home team is catching 3.5 as a home dog. How say you, Schwartz? Who you betting on there?
Look, man, I know that you turn to me for extensive knowledge on my college football, but I will be quite honest. I couldn't name you one freaking player playing that game. I'm not even sure I could give you
Kenny Pickett. About that? He's only been there for 20 years. You should know him at least.
I mean, has Pittsburgh won 7 games in his career? I don't really know. I don't watch a lot of Pittsburgh football. So I watch Steelers football, but.
Okay, that's a nice transition you just made there. Give me win, play, show. I didn't ask you to prepare this, but I know you've been looking at the week one options. Give me your win, play, show, your best bets for NFL week one. It's you, Schwartz.
So I think my best bet, at least the one I like the most, is up to 3 now. Oh. See, the problem is you take some of these numbers where they open, and then you look at them now and you're like, bleh. Like I got Denver -1.5 at New York. It's now 3. I mean, who's blocking any of these defensive linemen for Denver? Like, is there a Giants offensive lineman that can block any of them?
I'm
and I could reverse on you and be like, how is Denver going to score versus the Giants defense? So, I mean, if you want to play that game, I could do it too.
Well, he's asking you to play that game, Spaghetti. Don't be chippy. Why do you got to be like that? Answer the question.
It's been 5 years of the Giants hate. I'm tired of the Giants hate. They're going to turn around. So right now, Nate Solder's playing right tackle. Left tackle is Andrew Thomas. Looks like, I know they made the trade for Ben Breedson, but it looks like as of now, Shane Lemieux starting at left guard. Will Hernandez start right guard. Nick Gates at center. So they will do a fine job. I trust the coaching staff. Thank you very much. Teddy B is not going to score on the Giants defense. Let's just stop with those games.
Well, so
they're defense dominant now. They're just like, Teddy B's got no chance.
I mean, you don't have to be a dominant defense to stop Teddy Bridgewater. Sorry.
Touche.
Also, bravo Denver quarterbacks, putting your tracers in the corner of a freaking room and thinking the NFL wouldn't notice. How stupid are they? I think my favorite bet, I'll go Washington -1 at home against the Chargers. Justin Herbert, who I love, has not played a road game with fans yet. Hasn't done it yet. The Washington's defense is elite. Now, I think Rashawn Slater, the Chargers left tackle, is really good. It's Chase Young week 1. Now, he played well against him in college. It's a little different in the NFL now. I mean, Chase Young's I think Washington -1 in week 1 is my favorite. My favorite play. My second one.
I'll give you one while you're thinking about it. I feel pretty strongly that the Buccaneers are going to win by double digits.
Yeah, that's such a public play, though.
What's a winning bet, right?
Everyone's saying that. That kind of worries me.
You know what, though? What supports that, if you're nervous about it, look at the history of these season opening games. The defending Super Bowl champion almost always wins.
Oh, really?
In fact, recently is where it gets shaken up, but it was about, like, I think 11 years or so in a row that the home team won and won decisively. But
that makes sense. So look, I took Seattle +3 before Carson Wentz injury news, and now they're -2.5. I kind of still like them to go to Indianapolis. Indy, the last 3 years, guys, has had really bad stinkers in week 1. And now they get a quarterback who has been out for the last couple of weeks coming back. Yeah, so week 1 in 2018 with Frank Reich, they lost to the Bengals, right? They lost by 11 to the Bengals. Last year, 2 years ago in week 1, they lost the Chargers by 6, and that was like the 6-win Chargers. And last year, they were the only win for Jacksonville. They lost to week 1 Jacksonville.
That's right.
So like they just start kind of clunky. So I don't love Seattle as a road favorite, but I got them at +3. I mean, I'll take, I guess, really -2.5 is not that big of a deal. If it was over 3, it'd be a problem. And my last one, I'll give you my last one. How about under? Can I go a total here? Is that all right?
Certainly.
Under in Patriots Dolphins, it's 43.5, I believe, right now. Rookie quarterback Mac Jones against a Brian Flores defense, and the Patriots in general, I think, are going to kind of run the ball, play everything tight, play action pass, kind of squeeze the game down. And I don't trust Tua. That offensive line, guys, is bad in Miami right now. And I get the Patriots, their front 7 had a really good preseason. They played a lot. They look good. I think the under in this matchup is the way to go.
I agree with you on that under there. I think the Patriots are going to win that division now. I'm converted on that subject.
I put some money on that already.
Did you? I think that, now that it's over, it's in the rearview mirror for 11 more months, so you don't have to listen to me say this again, but August is Pro Football Civil War reenactment. Do not pay attention to what goes on the field in these preseason games because it doesn't apply. One exception, though, is the offensive line, if those are the guys that are actually going to be out there for these teams. So concern level, if you are just week 1, I mean, we can assume that if you like the pedigree of these guys that they'll round into shape, but how real is it if you're a young guy out on the field for your first regular season game that you can get kind of blown away by whatever, the atmosphere, like you say, the crowd, the speed, the practical speed lined up against you. Like if you're the Steelers, is Roethlisberger scared right now? Is he thinking, Jesus?
He's not worried, but the speed of the game for young players just picks up. It just does from the preseason to the regular season. I want to push back very quickly on something you said. I think you can take away more from the preseason than you give it credit for. And I'll tell you where it is. To me, it's about kind of the process that we see in the field. I'll give you an example. So it's mostly for teams that we have question marks about. Arizona's offense, okay? A lot of question marks about their offense heading the season. And they looked exactly the same freaking way in the preseason. Like, unlike college football, when you kind of hide stuff in week 1, you know, like for week two. You don't do that in the NFL, right?
They talk about that. They talk about that in the NHL with goalies. You can get away with baiting a shooter in the minors. Hey, bait the guy to shoot to your glove hand, and then you can try that in the NHL, and you'll get shamed quickly, right?
You hold back some plays in the preseason and some game plan, obviously, but the base of your offense is in, and you run the base of your offense. The Cardinals look like shit. Their offense looked terrible. I'm supposed to buy that an offense that was bad last year had a bad preseason and all of a sudden becomes good this season? Get out of here with that. So that's where I think you can tell.
Well, but I don't think the Cardinals are a good example then in that regard because they were good offensively last year.
No, they were. They were terrible at passing the ball. They were good at running the football. Their DVOA for passing was bottom third in the NFL.
But they could score because of the unique skill set of number one there. You think that goes away now? You think the league catches up with that? What about all that catch-up talk? Where everybody's caught up to what Lamar Jackson is trying to do.
Look, I used to be a Lamar hater. You know this. They win a lot of football games. You just can't anymore. I don't know. Who knows? People just blabbing away offseason. This has been a year, Dave, where there's had to be more manufactured topics. I think it's pretty chalky in the NFL. There's not everyone's asked me, who's your favorite surprise team? Nobody. Who's your favorite worst to first team? No one. First to worst team.
It happens every year. You're saying that this is the year that it does not happen.
It didn't happen last year.
Didn't it? So 2020, I didn't even notice that it hadn't happened because used to hearing. Somebody always goes worst to first. There was zero.
None last year, no. Because Pittsburgh was 8-8, and the year before, they weren't worse in the division.
Interesting. So you're locked in Chiefs and Bucks. Is that your Super Bowl pick then?
Okay, who's being the Bucks in the right now in the NFC?
I know Eddie Spaghetti brought that up a week or two ago, and I was like, you know what, you're right. I am overthinking this. I've gotten seduced by Stafford in Los Angeles, and the other team. What I look at is the division that they're in, because whether or not you're the best team, if you get the number one seed, you have a decided edge come January. And so I think the Titans and the Packers are the two that have that edge. I mean,
but the Chiefs are going to win 15 games this year. I mean, they don't lose regular season games. They just don't. Dave, since by the way, the one option for worst to first this year is the Niners, but no one thinks the Niners are that bad. That's the thing. It's God, I'm putting the Niners to win the NFC West. All right, they're the favorite. You know what I mean? It's not it's that big of a deal that they go worst to first. Look, I'll tell you the Chiefs very quickly. So since Mahomes, he dislocated his knee in 2019, right? His first game back, they lost by 3 points to the Titans, who came back in that game. Since that game, they played 26 times, including the playoffs. How many games have they lost of 26? How many would you guess?
Two?
Correct. They lost to the Raiders and the Bucks in the Super Bowl. That's right. They just win a lot of football games. Same with Baltimore in the regular season. I'm always high in Baltimore.
I know. That's rear view mirror stuff, though. And the NFL evolves. It's not as chalky as other sports.
And the Chiefs evolve. They got a better offensive line. They've done the evolving part.
But don't you? I mean, I know we've talked about this, so we don't need to beat a dead horse. Actually, the season hasn't even started yet, so let the beating begin. But I mean, the Chargers have. Don't you? Am I misreading that the Chargers have a decidedly better defense than what the Chiefs are going to throw out there, and the Chargers' offense isn't decidedly worse than what the Chiefs do?
I know you've been picking on the Chargers.
I think their defense is going to dominate if they can ever catch a break from the football gods and stay close to healthy.
That's the thing, is you have to basically bet that they're going to catch a break this year.
Well, I mean, at some point, what the hell? Nobody put a pox on the franchise.
You have a first-time head coach who's never really been in charge of many units. So he's only been a defense coordinator one season. I just want to see it, Dave. I'm not saying they're going to be terrible, but I just want to see Staley coach for one. I mean, they didn't play in the preseason. None of the starters play in the preseason. We don't know anything about this team. And they're going to show up in Washington and try to beat a very good team in Washington. I got to see it.
So you have no eye-opening, hey, look out for the Bills' pass rush. Something that wasn't there a year ago is going to be relevant this year.
Well, okay, two things in the AFC, right? The Bills' pass rush, they drafted two pass rushers that could be better. And the Browns' secondary. The Browns added two pieces of free agency, one in the draft. And they can, the Browns and Bills built their defenses to try to stop the Chiefs and slow them down. Very simple. In the NFC, look, I think Trey Lance plays more than most think. I don't know, most think. But I think he plays start sooner or later, which makes the Niners pretty formidable in that. The Rams, here's the thing with the Rams. I think I've almost gone anti-Rams because people have blown up Stafford so much. That's like,
I know. Like, I'm worried about like, that. That I've over.
They pretend right. Like, they pretend like Matt Stafford didn't have Calvin Johnson during his career. Like, you know, like they just pretend he was throwing to me and you and Eddie the whole time. But the Rams, they just won. They've won a lot of football games with Jared Goff, and Matt Stafford's an upgrade over Jared Goff. Defensively, they're going to regress as teams tend to do, but offensively, they're going to be better. And they just again. They won a lot of football games. I think the Rams, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. Maybe they are this year, but they're gonna win. They're gonna win 9, 10, 11 games.
You know what I think knocked them down legitimately? Because it's a lot of it with the wagers we make, the way analysts talk all month leading up to week one kickoff is based on perception of things. And when you disrupt the perception, the first big injury of training camp was Cam Akers. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, whoa. Oh yeah, guys get hurt. And the Rams as specifically are probably the worst positioned of any would-be contender in terms of depth. Is that right? That like, I mean, and everybody's going to have injuries. Ergo, the Rams could fall apart pretty quickly with a key injury or two more here.
I mean, they don't have a lot of depth because they've paid a lot of players. Yeah. And right. So, yes, I mean, I can make that case for a lot of teams too. I don't look at that like previous season. Like, oh, if someone gets hurt, I mean, they get hurt. Like,
isn't it the deepest team wins? Isn't that the unsexiest but truest sure. thing of all of who makes hay come January is who's healthy?
Sure, but certain positions, you know this. If that guy gets hurt, you don't have a chance to win. No matter how deep your team is.
Right. Well, take away the QB, obviously. Yeah. Dak went out. But that is the other team in the NFC to try to answer your question. Can they beat the Bucs? I don't know. But I bet you that Dan Quinn gets that defense tuned up to at least middle-class level, and that offense should sing. I don't know what you're going to do to slow that offense down. If Zeke is even close to what he was two or so years ago, I mean, the Cowboys should wreck. Although I see people picking Washington, and you're high on them, at least in week one.
I have Dallas to win the NFC East.
Yeah.
There's not been a repeat winner in that division since 2004.
Fascinating. Last thing, and then you go, yes. Jeff Schwartz. You mentioned the Bills. You said you don't watch Pitt Panthers, but you do watch Pitt Steelers. Give a pick week one up in Buffalo.
Ooh, so 6.5 now? 6?
That's right.
Somewhere around there?
That's right.
I take Buffalo to cover that game.
What I like is it's funny that you bring up because the first week one bet that we at least considered making was when I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to go to Denver, or else why did they not take Justin Fields or Mac Jones when they were both sitting there for them to take? It was because we knew that the Broncos knew that they were going to get Aaron Rodgers, and that's why they took the cornerback in that spot. Now I wonder if this is going to be a head scratcher for the next half decade at least if Justin Fields ends up being a star.
100%.
I think so too. I can't understand why Denver did that in hindsight. But we were talking about that forever. Like, well, Rodgers is going to land with Denver, and the Giants plus 1.5 is going to get even longer odds. Bet the Broncos now. So it's funny that line is moving as much as it is. But we are combining those now. What do you think of our little teaser here? Steelers up to 13.5 on the road, and Spaghetti's Giants up to 7.5 at home against the Broncos, aka not world beaters. They're Teddy B's team. That's a good teaser, right?
I think it's a good teaser. Yes.
All right. Good.
I'm with you there. I'll give you all those points.
Okay. Good luck to your Ducks. Good luck to your Pac-12, except to the teams that you don't like, which. Your math is very weird now. So, okay, there are two Pac-12 teams that we don't want to see do well, but we want to see all the other Pac-12 teams. And one way or the other.
I don't know why it's so hard for you to grasp.
I grasp it. I think there's no.
You root for every ACC team to lose?
Because I'm a man of honor, Schwartz, and I'm not going to root for my I'm not going to root for my rivals. I did one time.
I'm not rooting for my rivals either.
well, not rivals, but my, my conference guys, whatever, the Big 12, let's just change the name to the Blob, whatever, the Blob, however many teams, what do we do? What kind of conference is that? 12. Well, what is it? What is that stupid conference going to end up being? West Virginia here and BYU, it's all.
I think you should relegate the Giants after this year to them, right, Eddie? This should be done in Big 12.
He's in no mood, Schwartz. You heard, tell, boy. He got mad.
No. I'm not angry with Jeff. I'm actually in lockstep with Jeff, and I'm rooting very, very hard for the Oregon Ducks because in our futures draft, I did pick the Oregon Ducks to win the Pac-12.
No, but you were mad about the Giants. You were mad. Oh yeah, he said about the Giants.
He's gonna go to
look. Everyone hates the Giants. Blow me up. It is. It is what it is. Everyone hates the Giants, and understandably so. I understand there's question marks about the O-line, and the only thing I can say is if they have a good week one performance, people will forget about all the issues they just saw in the preseason game versus the Patriots, and we'll move on to week two, and we'll take it from there. Hopefully Saquon has a good game. Hopefully Deion Jones plays well, and people will kind of slow down with the Giants hate. But right now,
nobody hates the Giants. What are you? What are you kind of weirdo? Everybody hates them. Everybody likes them for beating.
I think the media does. I think
no, they do not.
No.
People are happy they beat Brady twice.
I disagree.
Giants. The media, the media used to cover the Giants. Peter Schrager picked them to win the NFC East today. What are you talking about?
There was an article from either New Jersey beat writer or maybe New Jersey beat writer. He said that the bulk of the media, like they said how many media entities picked the Giants to finish like third or fourth, and it was
because they're not any good.
So. That doesn't mean anybody hates
that's
them.
That's my point, is that people just they don't ever see growth or they don't have any high expectations for the Giants. And I'm not going to argue with it. I said, let's just see what happens week one. I feel pretty good about versus a team with Teddy B. That's it.
But nobody, you understand, there's no emotion behind it. People are just evaluating, like, I don't think that's going to be good.
Dave, if somebody talks bad about the Steelers, you're like,
I don't think they hate the Steelers. Because,
like, the Steelers don't lose. They always win games by close and double digits. And
they do. Blah, blah, blah.
It's the same exact thing. It's the same thing.
I don't think people hate them, though. I think people are either underestimating or overestimating.
I think the Giants are a joke, and they don't ever look into the moves they make and say, "Hey, this could be actually room for improvement." Like I think Bryce wants the Giants.
For the record,
they made a lot of good moves this offseason.
If anyone ever thinks I hate the Giants, they are wrong, because I thank them for defeating Brady's Patriots not once but twice. Then it would be a real bloodbath for the rest of pro football's history if Tom Brady had even more Super Bowls, and he may have one by the end of mid-February this year. That's the other thing, Schwartz. You talk about rearview mirror. That's the most fascinating one of all. When is it going to happen? It's just like Tom Brady's like, oh, yeah, he's now like average now. He's not good
anymore.
I think
Tom Brady's going to play till he gets an injury. Like, that's basically, if he's 55, it's 55. I don't know. Just whenever it gets an injury, he can't play anymore. He's going to keep playing, whatever.
All right. Listen, good luck to your Giants.
Thank you.
It looks like they're going to wind up in the wild card now spot, which is bad for the National League that the Dodgers.
Why are the Giants in the wild? Why are they in the wild card spot?
Because I think the Dodgers are going to end up taking the division. And once they the division, cool, then the Giants are going to have to play a one-game playoff, and then all bets are like.
Even though the Giants have the tiebreaker against the Dodgers, they've beaten them 10 out of 19 times. By the way,
I know. But if the Dodge, what you need as a Giants or any other team that hopes to win the pennant, what you need is the Dodgers playing in that one-game playoff. That's your best.
Of course.
Bet.
Oh yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Yes. All right, Schwartz, you're the Tops. Looking forward to all your work upcoming this season on Fox Sports, digitally and otherwise. You're chopping it up with Cousin Sal there on Fox Bet Live. Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you, or as Schwartz himself calls it, you're smarter. And that's it. And we'll kibitz with you as the season rolls on here on social media and otherwise. Make sure you're following Jeff Schwartz, one of the great follows in all of, for all year, but especially during football season. He and his spoon breaking it down for you. Be on the lookout for that. And we'll kibitz with you soon, Schwartz.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
It's time right now, though, for Eddie Spaghetti to shine here on FanDuel Sportsbook. He is the home run hitter of calling home run hitters. It's Tuesday. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. It's about to get even better because it is Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesday. To be more specific, place a $25 wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in the game. Eddie Spaghetti is, I think, like kind of Ted Williams. I'm not going to say that you are batting 1,000 or anything, but I think you're over 400 here. in doing it with your home run calls and hitting them successfully there. Lay it on us on this Tuesday. Who's going to go yard, Spaghetti?
Yep, I've been lucky to give out some winners, mostly with Yankees, and I have been trying to pick other teams here, but right now my team needs me, and I'm going to do my best to help them out. Gerrit Cole versus Steven Matz, our guy, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, Steven Matz was a former Mets pitcher, so Giancarlo Stanton had some time with him in the National League. He's batting .333 and 15 at-bats off him with two dingers, four ribbies. I like Giancarlo to go yard off Steven Matz tonight, and I'm hoping Gerrit Cole does his job on the mound and shuts down those Blue Jays, and the Yankees get a much-needed win. So very, very simple. It's Giancarlo Stanton, hit a home run tonight off Steven Matz. Cross your fingers. Let's go, Yankees.
I hear you. Again, the important item here, use the promo code -3, the word minus and the number three. And you know what? Like Jerry Orbach, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, Spaghetti. The Yankee season now is officially weird. This, that they could do what they did for 2 weeks and now start to suck again and lose games to the Orioles. Not one game, but multiple games. I don't know what to make of it, but all the best to your club as they come down the wire. And all the best to you if you're listening to Daddy Spaghetti's home run pick there. And once again, make sure you're betting at FanDuel.com/-3. The great Jeff Schwartz, everybody. And I think he said it all. Final thoughts, Spaghetti, anything you want to say? Or should we wrap it up here and look ahead to our visit with Kevin Hench in a couple of days?
That was another, you know, great. I love the college football talk with Jeff, and he does make a good point about, you know, how eventually college football, it's kind of annoying right now. And I agree with you with the Clemson only being number six, but eventually as the weeks go on, then things kind of get a clearer picture. But yeah, I am an Oregon Ducks fan this week, and I'm not a fan of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And just for my sheer purpose of wanting to win our extra points league, I really need them to hold on here, because it looks like the Pac-12 is what, four or five ranked teams, not as bad as I thought. So it's going to be a tough one for the Ducks.
But don't you see that now we already know they've tipped their hand. Clemson is now in. Now they have to be straight up upset by somebody in the ACC to miss the Final Four. That the people who established the preseason poll have decided to keep them at number six despite them losing and putting up a single digit in their score column, that team gets to stay ahead of all these teams that performed well in the only piece of evidence that we have is just crazy to me. And that does stink. And it does then make me reverse myself on saying that we shouldn't have an expanded playoff. We need one if this is the sort of jive that they're going to apply here with evaluating teams.
I get where you're coming from. And the one thing I will say, the one little pushback I will give is I think that Clemson's going to win every other game they play, and they're scheduled by like 40 points. I think DJ Uiagalelei is going to be awesome. I think what we're not talking about enough is Dan Lanning, defensive coordinator of Georgia, did an outstanding job, and they're not getting enough credit. It was kind of a sloppy game. I know it wasn't high scoring, whatever. Clemson couldn't do anything versus Georgia. He stopped everything, and he stopped a very good offense. And I said, you know, in a few other episodes on this show, against the odds and extra points, that I like Georgia's defense this year. I think Georgia's going to look more dynamic, because again, Clemson is a good team on defense as well. We all know Brett Venables has been there for how many years. He's probably the best defensive coordinator in college football. But they're going to look pretty good, Georgia. But I do think that Clemson will make us feel a little bit better about the loss, because they're going to win games like 55-0. So that's the one pushback I will give, that Clemson will look like a really good team the rest of the way. But Georgia, they ran into a real buzzsaw, maybe the only other true buzzsaw outside of Alabama and Bryce Young, which they look well on their way to another title and a Heisman win for Bryce Young.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to completely reverse myself on the things I thought based on the 60 minutes action we saw from 19-year-olds. But maybe the takeaway is, instead of, oh, wow, well, there's nobody in the ACC to challenge after UNC, if they looked like that against Virginia Tech, maybe the other side of that coin is maybe the ACC is going to be a little bit better than what it's been. I mean, that kid that you talked about from Florida State, maybe Pitt will be halfway decent. Maybe BC can be all right. They have a nice QB, for what that's worth. Maybe the ACC will be a little stronger collectively and challenge, and all Clemson, if Clemson stumbles one more time here and loses just one more, then they will be out. But either way, that's it for college football. Maybe we'll do a little bit with our best bets as we go along here. But the next show, I expect, Eddie Spaghetti, will be about 90% pro football talk as we head into week one. It's finally here, everybody. Can't wait to do that with Eddie Spaghetti and Kevin Hench. And you, make sure you're betting along with us as always. FanDuel.com/-3. The word minus, the number three is how you do that. We'll be back in 48 hours. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.